Welcome back, Doc, to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Professor Michael Rosen. And Dr. Rosen, you just talked about, the flat tax and the impact that it's going to have on the average person. And for the life of me, you're an educator, and for the life of me, Dr. Rosen, I just cannot understand why, and maybe it's that people are too busy struggling with their daily lives that they can't really drill down on what's happening politically.
Well, I think you're hitting it. I think that's right. I mean, a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to politics. They are involved in raising their children, doing their jobs, maintaining their homes and their yards, taking care of elderly parents, or they have a lot of responsibilities, and so they don't pay a lot of attention. And so, which is why a candidate like Tim Michaels will float out the flat tax, but not say he's going to do it, not put out a real plan. And then when he gets in, people will be surprised that their taxes go up when he implements it, or that even if he comes in with a 3.5% rate so that their income taxes don't go up, their property taxes will go up, or the services that they depend on will be slashed. But people, it's kind of a strategy. You notice the Republican Party has not put out any policies. The Republican candidates, I'm talking principally about Senator Johnson and Tim Michaels, any explicit policies that they will pursue if elected. They simply talk about
cutting taxes
and violence, but they don't talk about whose taxes are going to cut. There's no details, and that's why I worked with two dozen other economists to sign a letter opposing the flat tax, saying it will not be good for Wisconsin. It won't be good for Wisconsin's middle and working class people, and it won't be good for the state. Hopefully we wanted to bring it to the light of day. Now, Michael's people then said, well, he hasn't put forward a plan. This isn't fair. But he should be putting forward a plan. What I compare it to is a student asking for an A. Michael's is asking to be made governor and promising to do the work later. Well, do the work now. Tell us what your tax plan is. Tell us. Ron Johnson, what your plan is if you can't vote to bring down pharmaceutical prices the way the Democrats did, what's your plan to bring them down? If you don't like President Biden's proposal to impose an excess profit tax on the oil companies, which are making super profits right now, what's your plan?
So, Dr. Rosen, you, and I know you, and you're not a guy who just is anti-Republican. And I've known you long enough to know you're just not opposed to Republicans just because they're Republicans. You've done the research over an extrapolated period of time with what Republicans do when they're in office, what they say and what they do, as opposed to what Democrats. I've heard you critical of Democrats when they don't
do the right
thing. And that's where we are. You can look at what Republicans have done, the continued promises always about we're gonna get rid of crime, we're gonna lower your taxes. outside of those two things, there's nothing else that they ever talk about.
No, in fact, and crime. And
even
I
on
mean,
a national
I mean,
scale.
Yeah. First of all, what the Republicans do have is a single, it's a single note song. Their only solution to everything is to cut taxes. Inflation, cut taxes. Slow economy, cut taxes. It's a constant refrain. They don't tell you whose taxes, and generally what happens when they impose that, when they are in power and they cut taxes, the tax breaks go overwhelmingly to the wealthiest people in the country. You know, we have inflation now. What's their solution? Tim Michael says, I'm going to cut taxes. I'm going to go to a flat tax. In fact, if that won't have do anything to stifle inflation. We need concrete policies that will be used to stop corporations from the price gouging that they're engaged in. That's why yesterday President Biden announced that he is considering a windfall excess profits tax on oil companies because they are making so much money. Let me just mention, let me just read you this. Last quarter, the oil companies generated $50 billion in profits. Their net income of the world's oil and gas producers will double this year from last to a record $4 trillion. A half dozen of the largest firms earned more in profit over the past 6 months than in all of the last year, and more than 2.5 times what they earned in 2021. If the industry simply earned the same levels of profit it has for the last 20 years, consumers would be paying 50 cents less per gas. Biden's proposed something concrete, an excess profits tax that would be used to then put money in the pockets of consumers. That's a concrete policy. We're not hearing those things from the Republican Party. They're playing culture wars. They want to talk about pronouns. They want to talk about attribute violence to Democrats, forgetting that murder rates have been going up long before President Biden was in office, that started under President Trump.
You know, Dr. Rosen, I just think that if people really understood the truth about these things, they would act in a different manner. For instance, it's easy to blame Joe Biden for the gasoline prices. I had a guy the other day argue with me. When Trump left office, the gas prices was $2.69. And when Trump left office, America was the number one producer of oil. And now Joe Biden came in, and right away he discontinued the pipeline, and to them that's the answer to everything else. Ukraine, inflation that's global, none of those things even enter into their minds, because the easy thing to do is to say gas was $2.69 when Trump left office, and now it's whatever it is, and that's because of the one man and the Democrats.
You know, there's a mythology about how great America was when Trump left office. If you remember, we were spiraling into a very deep recession. 20,000 people a month were dying of COVID.
Right.
This is under President Trump when he left
that
office.
He totally disavowed.
You know, it wasn't a golden era. The country was traumatized. And the fact of the matter is that the recovery under the Democrats has been, while there are certainly problems, and I'm not trying to minimize the increases in cost of living, the speed of the recovery has been quite remarkable. And for most people, even though inflation right now is much higher than wage increases, if you go over the period of time, especially people at the bottom got wage increases. significant wage increases. Working in the service sector, people who hadn't had wage increases in 30 years. Now, I don't want to paint a rosy picture. There are clearly problems with the cost of living right now. But as you pointed out, the principal drivers of increased oil prices are one, the war in Ukraine. The war in Ukraine and which has impeded the production of oil and the processing of oil. Number two is the greed of the oil companies, and particularly OPEC in Russia, which have actually made a decision to cut back on the production of oil rather than to increase it as prices have gone, and the oil companies, which are making record profits.
So those
are the things driving the prices, and they're very little over what the President of the United States or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party has the power to do, and it has nothing to do with the pipeline, by the way.
You know, you're an economist, and so you study economy, you know how things work. It's easy to say, I'm going to bring the gas prices down. I'm going to take them back to where they were before, and which is what the Republicans are all saying. You just stated there's nothing they can do.
Right. I mean, the one thing they could do is they could implement an...
Hold the thought. Got to run to a break real quick. Bill from Economist Walk will come to you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Bill, we must have lost Bill. Yeah, oh, there he is. Hey, Bill.
There he is. Hold on a second.
Thank you for waiting.
You have some wonderful guests on. Boy, you could call this
a class in
politics. and you ought to charge admission because you really educate people.
Well, but, that's my guess. Talking about
what the doctor was talking about on oil, I don't know if people know this. In America, we export oil. We're exporting it right now.
Yeah.
We exported, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was France that we were exporting oil to. So the idea that Biden is restricting the flow of oil is nonsense, and the profits prove it. On a crime, it was the Republicans that flooded the country so every man, woman, and child and fetus had a weapon. That's why crime is up. On Ron Johnson, and I just got to share this with you. I almost fell off the couch. I was laughing so hard. Barack Obama is talking about Ron Johnson, and he said, you know, Ron Johnson was fortunate enough during his, while he's playing politics, he bought some planes. He bought one for himself.
Yeah, three.
And a bunch for the kids, and some for the kids. And Barack says, obviously, he doesn't know how to carpool. You know, I thought that was... I just love that. But here's what I love, what I heard Obama speak. We need some Obama-ese people that convey a message the way Obama can. And last but not least, they always talk about taxes. If you really want to help the tax structure, any individual making $50,000 or less tax-free, any family $100,000 or less tax-free. The rest pay taxes.
Hey,
and that's a good way to stimulate, I think, our economy. That's my thank you for the time.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for listening, as always. Thank you for the call. You know, Dr. Rosen, for the people who don't want to pay their fair share of taxes, can a government run without taxes?
No.
I mean, that's the whole point. Our government can't exist.
There's actually two points. I know we don't have a lot of time today, but the whole purpose of taxes is to provide government with the resources it needs
services
to provide
the
services. In fact, it was Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes who said that taxes are the price we pay for civilization. What he means by that is that if you have a society, a capitalist society, without government, It's a savage society. It's a winner-take-all society without roads, without bridges, without schools, without public safety, without protection of natural resources. It's just a society. It's a dog-eat-dog society. And we had that in the early stages of the development of the United States and realized that if we were going to have a more civilized society where people could actually thrive thrive and be healthy and have productive lives, that you needed to have a countervailing force to the market. Something so you and people turned to government. Now, at first, it was very limited. Government essentially, in the early stages, government provided infrastructure, roads, canals. The railroad was essentially subsidized by the government. When monopolies developed in the 1890s, Standard Oil, United States Steel, we began to regulate business. Then in the 1930s, when the economy basically collapsed, we had a massive expansion of the role of government to provide a protection for people, a social safety net, Social Security in particular, unemployment compensation, workers' compensation, because we saw that you can't just let people die on the streets when the economy isn't working. So we hear a lot of people talk about a free market economy. What we really have is a mixed market economy. We have a market-based economy where private companies provide, they build houses, they provide all kinds of goods and services, but we also have government to provide goods and services that the private sector can't provide to moderate the extremes of the market system.
Dr. Rosen, while we were talking about...
And taxes pay for all that,
so,
by the way.
While we were talking about Tim Michaels, you just brought something up that I don't want us to forget. Tim Michaels has said, unemployment, if you are laid off, he wants to cut the amount of time that you can collect unemployment basically down to nothing and make you go get a job paying less than what you are making.
What's ironic is that less than 2 years ago, we recognized that people were essential workers, that the nurses, the radiologists, the warehouse workers, the street people who clean our streets, right, people who collect our garbage. These were essential workers. We honored them. We praised them. We put up signs praising them. The unemployment rate today is 3.5%. Right. It's lower in Wisconsin. It's lower. It's as low as it was under the heyday of Donald Trump. So what is the purpose of cutting unemployment benefits? It's not the notion behind that is that people are sitting at home collecting unemployment. That's not the case. People, we have as much employment now as we did before the pandemic. People are going to work. The main reason that some people are staying out of work, particularly women, is because they need child care is so expensive, and we don't have child care benefits, subsidized child care in this country, so women can't go to work. They've got to take care of their kids.
Dr. Rose, you got a couple more minutes or you got to run?
I got to be somewhere at 11.
Okay, so. All right, so you got to run.
Yeah.
Thank you as always, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Love being here. Last thing I want to say is, please, people, look at the policies. Look at the flat tax. What is that policy? Look at the other policies being proposed for public education. Are they planning to fund the University of Wisconsin system and the tech college system?
Got to leave it
look
there.
Look at that.
All right.
We'll Social be right Security.
Back. All right. Thank you, Dr. Rosen. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Got to go. All right.
Good night.
failure. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, Republican, you know, whatever. There's some things going on in the society that are not good. And it just so happens. Hey, bring CJ up, man. Because I'm going to try to have a kind of bring CJ up. CJ, are you still there? CJ? Okay, we'll get him anyway. All right, CJ? CJ, are you there? All right, so here, let me say this to you. There is something that is happening in this country that anybody, a blind person, could see, that puts the trajectory of the future of this nation in jeopardy. The threat is not Russia. The threat is not China. The threat is not Black Lives Matter. The threat is from a group of Americans who will do whatever it takes to get their voices heard. And it's not like they don't have the outlets to get their voices heard. They control the outlets. They control everything when it comes to the radio, the airwaves. So, you know, that's not the issue. Their voices are being heard. Did we bring CJ on yet? Is he there?
No.
Okay, all right. So, that's all right.
He's on here, but he's just not responding.
Okay, so anyway, let me know when he does. So here's, when do we come to the realization that you don't want American citizens to vote because somehow you think that these American citizens are criminals. The Democrats are cheat. Well, they cheat. What do you mean? Well, they're going to cheat when it comes to elections. They don't want Republicans to ever, get a chance to lead in this country. Let me tell you something, America. There are things that are more important that we should be concerned about. And let me tell you one of them. Connor, you aware of, are you a Generation Z?
Yeah.
Listen to this, man. Here's what the people should be concerned about. Generation Z's research indicates that Generation Z's are currently the most stressed demographic of people in the nation. The American Psychological Association reports that 90% of Generation Z experience psychological or physical symptoms as a result of stress last year alone. Now listen to this. This is what this nation should be concerned about. How does Generation Z deal with mental health? In contrast, more than a third of Generation Zers have said that they have received medical treatment or therapy from a mental health professional. In addition, the same source finds that Generation Zers are more likely to report mental health concerns and seek treatment than all other generations. Listen to this. How many Generation Z suffer from mental health issues? One in four Generation Zers respondents reported feeling more emotionally distressed 25%, almost double the levels reported by Millennial and Generation X respondents, 13% each, and more than triple the levels reported by Baby Boomers, 8%. What percent of Generation Zs are depressed? 47% among adolescent Generation Zs, 12 to 13 years old. 60% among Generation teens, 14 to 17 years old, and 46% among young adults, 18 to 21 years old, have talked about being depressed. So Generation Z has the highest depression rates of any of the generations in the nation. Now listen to this. Generation Z, which is predicted to overtake all previous generations in size as they age and older generations die out, has been beset by mental health issues such as depression and suicide more than previous generations at this age. This is what our nation should be concerned about. The fact that our future is in trouble and that there are young people who are going to be in leadership in this country who need support, and yet they're forgotten. Nobody speaks for them. Nobody talks about them. You see young people wandering around not feeling a part of this nation. Who's speaking up for them? Instead, all we hear is this continued fight about Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, just politics.
Huh?
This is just mostly policy and politics. I mean, you need to be in a good mind to make good policy. And if most of the upcoming next generation is struggling with even feeling a part of the system, then where does the hope? How can we even have conversation about contemporary policy when every single piece of legislation we make is going to be in jeopardy in the next 20 years of this problem?
So Connor, you're Generation Z-er. You're a bright young man who's going to make it regardless. Irregardless, you're going to make it. But there are so many in your generation that are just totally lost.
I mean, I can.
And it's not their fault.
I can 100% relate, especially with it, because I mean, I've struggled with depression for a majority of my life, and anxiety, and I think the main thing, it's a simple thing to say, but I do think it is because of technology and information. Just this, that how much information we're able to receive, and that, but then it not being placed in context, right? Because you have some people over here, you know, some people at this specific political group trying to spread this particular narrative.
Right.
And you have other people over here trying to spread a different narrative entirely. And they use similar facts, but it's not quite the same thing. This entire Mandela Barnes versus Ron Johnson debate, it's a very small microcosm of a larger example where, like, you know, constant ads on every single thing, that every single YouTube video, every single Instagram reel that we watch, constant ads about him saying things, Mandela saying things that aren't true, or them directly taking things out of context. You take that and you multiply that by 1,000, right? With almost every single figure, every single celebrity or influencer or politician, it's getting to this point where, like, there isn't a figure or a leader or anyone in which you could trust, really, because every single person that in which, you know, most likely has some intention to try to take something or extrapolate something from you.
So kind of my point is, Democrats and Republicans,
yeah,
both are missing the boat on the future.
Completely.
And so the future generation gives a rip about who's a Democrat and who's a Republican.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. When you're having constant stories of everyone from Al Franken to I don't know, Marco Rubio, you know, this concubine, this person, this, like, it's what becomes pushed, right?
Right.
Not the policy, right? Not exactly, not the our history and foreign policy or our tax policy. What's being pushed are these controversies. That's what the media bases itself on. But when you get a constant string of this, and it really increases depression, increases anxiety, because you're not allowed to feel safe in the environment you're in.
You know, Connor, they, and this is what the society needs to understand. It doesn't matter if you are suburban.
Yeah,
generations.
It doesn't matter at all. That's
right.
The thing.
I mean, and we're born and raised in a good home, a nuclear family. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because
it's
it doesn't.
It's the fact that these are young people who really need love, compassion, guidance, stability, and in many instances they can't even get it from home.
Yeah,
because people are doing these other things, man.
And this is a consequence of us not taking mental health seriously, like as a culture, as a society, by creating this culture that prioritizes suppression
things.
And prioritizes this idealized American dream at the consequence of a continuous suppression of our emotions and our desire for community. Like, work in achieving dreams is important, but what's just as important is making sure that you're in the right mind state to do that. And studies show across the board that people, specifically workers, that, you know, are able to work less than 35 hours a week and are able to hang out with their friends and do things and have a life outside of what they outside of just the entire rigmarole that is society, right? They're happier and they do better work.
Go ahead.
And so it's just about trying to take the systems that we have now and then make them more community-based.
Look, man, there is no future for this nation. I don't care how much money you spend on military weapons, unless the future of the nation, the people who will inhabit this after we're gone, are stable, right?
Exactly.
It's to me, to continue to spend money on nuclear weapons and armament and totally dismiss and ignore the youth is crazy. So I see we got somebody. Who do we have on the line? Put him on the line.
He is a frequent caller. I forget the name.
Yeah, just put him up. Go ahead. Who do we have on the line?
Morning. Yeah, morning. I'm David down in California.
Yeah, hey, David. What's going on?
Well, I agree with you on the on your big principle there.
Did you hear the Generation Zers and the mental health issues that they are facing? And the percentages of them?
Yeah, I didn't catch that statistic, but it actually kind of gets in. Yeah, I was going to raise
mental health issues.
Well, if you look at, I'm Irish, and there were some schizophrenics in the family, and they said that the average population of schizophrenics and of Irish was about 15%. And so when you start looking at propaganda.
Yeah, but this is not about ethnicity, man. This is.
Oh, I understand that.
Board.
Yeah, I understand that, and this was 50 years ago.
Right.
But the idea that a propagandist could take some people who are paranoid, whether they're religious paranoid, whether they're just delusional in some way or another, hearing voices, and then they turn it into an advertising campaign to get them to do something crazy. And then it's kind of like the mob rule. But people like Paul Manafort and Roger Stone have got to have known this for years, and to have basically taken those algorithms out of social media and, you know, gathered data on people, what's their form of paranoia, feed them a whole bunch of strange data that'll make them jump over the edge. This is what's going on. And I was going to say, Elon Musk has a whole lot of responsibility in this right now, because he was the one that sent out a tweet the other day. He's got 112 million followers. He sent out this hoax tweet.
Yeah,
and then,
about what happened with Pelosi's husband.
Right. Now, he also just launched a top-secret satellite for SpaceX, with SpaceX.
So hold on. Hang on a second. Listen, I got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, before we went to break, I was talking about what is a troubling situation, and that's the Generation Z's and what they are going through in the society. And we had better pay attention to our future. It really is something that should be on the top of the list. It shouldn't be, you know, out of the conversation. It should be the conversation. We can talk about all the other things, the politics and all of those things, and none of that means a hill of beans when you find out just how the future of our society and what those young people are going through. 47% of Generation Z's are dealing with or have dealt with some mental health issues. 47%. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I'm sorry, who do we have on the line?
David.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead. Out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, just as you laid that out, you know, when I was in grade school, junior high school, we all thought that we had a future that we could land into, you know, that there was a future of getting a good job or being able to do whatever we wanted to, whether we wanted to grow up and be a cowboy or a spaceman, the idea that there was a possibility. And I'm wondering if a lot of that 49% you're talking about are kids that now don't think they have a future and that they're living on the fumes of panic. And so that could be an issue.
Let me say this to you. You have just correctly diagnosed what I see every day in the city where I live. Young people who don't believe they have a future in this country.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, what I was leading up to, you know, Elon Musk has got 112 million followers. And he goes out and starts spreading disinformation about this Pelosi assassination attempt. And he does it not only in a sleazy way, but he lets it ride for an hour or so and then yanks it. But he left a remnant with 112 million followers. You know, you've got all sorts of people that think, oh, I'm going to grow up and be a spaceman like Elon Musk, when in fact this guy is... If he actually sent that out by mistake without researching it, he's possibly the richest man.
So let me say this to you, because before I even knew that it was Elon Musk who sent it out, again, one of the conservative talk show hosts in the city of Milwaukee came on the air yesterday and said the exact same thing that Elon Musk said. He put it out there. Right?
Right.
He said that Nancy Pelosi's husband was in his underwear, and so was the other guy. And he put all that out there as if that was fact and that was true. And then today he came back and had to retract it. But instead of finding out whether it was truth or not, he just went ahead with that, right?
But I'm leading up to, is Elon Musk a sucker or a traitor? And either way, the idea that the richest man on the earth, possibly, is either a sucker or a traitor is pretty darn dangerous. You remember Ben Franklin used to say things like, don't put all your eggs in one basket? Well, that's what we did with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk apparently just hours ago helped the U.S. government launch a top-secret rocket. And if Elon Musk has got security clearance enough to launch a top secret rocket, we've got a real problem.
So you are 100% correct. But what it also states, and why we have a problem, is because in this country, because he who has the most gold rules, we live by that edict. The people who have the most money, somehow, because they have all this money, We canonize them. It doesn't matter what their character is. Look at Donald Trump. No character whatsoever. But he had financial resources, and so because he had financial resources, people followed him like the Pied Piper.
Oh, I know.
So go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, if you know Donald Trump's history, he was working with money laundering.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know all those things, but what I'm saying is we live in a society that worships money and things.
Well,
and so
right.
So the money and things are what we worship. The other things don't seem to matter. So we don't know Elon Musk from Confucius. We don't know his character. We don't know what kind of human being he is. What we do know is that he has all this money. And so for some people, that's enough, right?
Well, if you think about money in the earliest days, before Croesus, the money was supposed to reflect your reputation. You know, if you were a good bootmaker, if you were a good cloth maker, if you were a good merchant, you would end up with more money. But when it comes down to organized crime or people who are money launderers or currency speculators, they go out of their way to ruin the reputations of other people in order to puff up their money. So in World War One, for example, one of the most evil men in the world.
Listen. I wish we had more time, but we got to run. Thank you very much for the call, as always. You always call when we're getting ready to leave. But thank you very much.
Care.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Listen, it is. Let's bring this last caller in quickly. Who do we have on the line? Quickly.
Earl, this is real quick. I just wanted to know, why did you go to Brooklyn for?
To talk about a nonprofit that I created to address children who are committing crimes in the community.
Okay, I'm a super fan. Okay, I'm going to let somebody else deserving to get on here. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Anyway, we got to go. I started this show by talking about the fact that this radio station is a radio station is not going to back down from anything or anybody. We're going to continue to bring forth the truth and keep these lines open. And we thank all of you for taking time out to listen, as always. I got to go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Connor. See you later.